Save Jerseyans, this is your blogger-in-chief, Matt Rooney, and I am talking to former NJGOP chairman and current Warren County Republican chairman, Doug Steinhardt. Doug Steinhardt, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there, Matt. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I got to be honest with you. It's mid-January. I expected that our conversation at this point on the calendar was going to be a lot different than this one. I thought we'd be talking about upcoming conventions, fundraising, what you're saying about the other candidates, what they're saying about you. But things change quickly in politics. I'll make it very simple. What happened?
Yeah, look, first and foremost, Matt, I just want to make it very clear that, you know, the events in Washington on January 6th had no impact on my decision to leave the governor's race. My withdrawal was the result of an agreement with my law partners that would have enabled me to still support my family and still run for governor at the same time, which became clear that they weren't going to keep. So that put me in an untenable position of having to choose between a political life and my family's life. And as much as I was anxious for the campaign ahead, we had established, I think, clearly and unequivocally our support for President Trump. We had the best campaign team in the country. We had a strong conservative message that wasn't just resonating with Republican voters, but I think is exactly what's needed to put New Jersey back on the right track. Reports should be out this week, but we had actually raised $318,000 in its first 3 weeks, which for us was that whole fourth quarter of the year. We did that by just hard work and grinding it out. But, I mean, that was all in the middle of COVID with Christmas and New Year's tucked in. So I think it was proof that people were engaged and they were responding. And, you know, I am confident that we'd have won the primary. I know I got a little flack from some people for this statement when I said that I was not a politician at all. I really meant that. I make my living. I make my living as a lawyer, not as a politician. And when I was faced with that choice again this past week, I had to choose my family. So, you know, that's where I am today. As you mentioned, you know, still the county chairman in Warren County. I look forward to doing what I've been doing for the last, you know, 3.5 years and keep working to build a Republican Party here. We need a strong Republican Party if we're going to stop Phil Murphy and the Democrats in Trenton.
So just to review, you know, every candidate, when they're going to run for office, especially a high office that involves a huge time commitment, you thought you had things squared away back at the office with your partners. Turned out that was not the case. Ended up having to abandon what you've been building for a while now. And it had nothing to do with the Capitol Hill riot at all. Because, I will say this. I think I know you well enough now to know that, you know, just because you had a bad news cycle or a problematic news cycle, you wouldn't run away from a fight. That doesn't seem like Doug Steinhardt. At the same time, you were building your campaign around support of Donald Trump. And there's no doubt that even among some Republicans, there's a desire to see the president kind of move on right now, even if they're appreciative of everything that he's done from a substantive policy point of view. So you're saying that played no role in your decision to reconsider a race?
No, we were full speed ahead, right up and through the unfortunate, you know, conversations that I had to have with some of my firm's leadership. And as I said, like, I think we had proven very clearly, you know, our bona fides is related to the president. You know, we had stood behind him and some really strong policies that were kind of helping shape the country. But look, if that's the same problem that I think is facing the state, the whole country at this point in time. And I don't think it's as simple as just blaming President Trump or blaming, you know, President-elect Biden. You know, one thing I learned, Matt, literally traveling the state, was that there are deeper problems than just that. What I got from talking to people is that there is an overwhelming sense of fear right now. There's an overwhelming sense of loss right now. People are afraid for the future of the country. They're afraid for the future of the state. They're afraid for their families' futures. There's this sense of loss of lives of livelihoods, of opportunities here in New Jersey. And, you know, they won't be solved by ascribing blame to a person or to a party, but rather they're only going to be solved through policies that I think restore people's hope, that have a sense of transparent government, that are compassionate in their approach to people. The state's problems are the results of years of just bad policy. And I think that's the debate that needs to happen to address people's fears and sense of loss. And that's not going to happen. I don't think it can happen in an environment where the policy discussion is going to be drowned out by calls for recriminations. And, you know, I want to be one of those people that's having that deeper policy debate. So look, I'm not going to go away. I don't think the Republican Party is going to go away. I think that, you know, we saw the last 3 years a party that was growing and getting more vibrant, and spent the last 3 months, September, October, November of 2020, you know, out registering Democrats statewide. So I think there's a lot of potential in New Jersey. You know, I look forward to continuing to do what I was doing the last 3 years, trying to do my part to help the party grow, albeit, you know, from back home in Warren County.
Now, you said that there's a lot of fertile opportunity for Republicans this year to advance a solid winning argument, and I agree with that. Do you think Jack Cittarelli's the guy to make that argument, and are you ready at this point to endorse him?
Look, I think one thing that is very clear, and Jack says this all the time when he's out, and he's absolutely right, you know, the entire legislature is up for election this year. And if we can get back to that deep-seated policy debate over what's really bothering folks in New Jersey, I think Republicans have a real opportunity to pick up seats, not just the governor's seat, but legislative seats, down ballot seats. I mean, I think that is the only way forward. It's with a strong, unified Republican Party. I'm looking forward to having that conversation with Jack. He reached out the other day. We have to connect. And I will absolutely get behind whoever the Republican nominee is, because that's the only way we are ever going to get back on firm footing as a Republican Party. It has to be. But
so you're open to it, but you still have some conversations to have.
I'm looking forward to talking to him. We hadn't connected but for a handful of times, you know, in passing through a couple of different events. But, you know, I think I know where Jack stands. I think I know where the Republican Party stands. As I said to you before, I know that we need to be under one big umbrella if we're going to be successful. There aren't enough of us in New Jersey, and while the party's growing, we need to grow it faster. So with legislators up, with the governors up, I think we have a real opportunity to take advantage of that in this environment.
So here's my question for you, not just as, you know, a former NJGOP chairman, but as somebody that's been following this stuff for a while. You know, I'm always a little bit less optimistic about Republican messaging, because when I get together with people in my age cohort, I'm in my 30s, I got a young child, I'm a middle class professional, you know, I don't hear them talking about affordability, even though obviously everybody wants to pay less taxes. I don't hear them using a lot of the campaign language. I hear them talking about, why is my kid stuck in hybrid or remote learning when they should be in school? Everything that comes out of Phil Murphy's mouth doesn't make a lot of sense. Yes, I take COVID seriously, but, you know, why is it only 25% capacity at a restaurant, but, you know, no capacity limits over here? People are really confused and they're distressed. They're also, obviously, in many cases, the family members of nursing home residents that have been killed by this administration's policies. But time and again, yeah, Doug, so many elected officials in this state on our side of the aisle with R's after their name, they refuse to come out and say it. And I have not heard one campaign this year, I think, anywhere on the ballot, just come out and say, we're going to end the damn lockdown. I haven't heard anybody say it. Like, can we win without making that argument? And if you agree with me that we can't win without making that argument, why is no one just coming out and saying it?
Well, ironically, we were just getting ready to put a white paper out that talked about getting the economy reopened. You know, right before we had to draw the campaign to a close, we put out a piece on election integrity, because I think that's, as I'm working my way through the state, that's something that we were hearing. But yeah, you know, you identify, I think, as I mentioned to you before, that sense of fear and loss, the very things that I think people are talking about most when you're working your way around the state. Yeah, loss of family. I mean, the governor's COVID approach has been a disaster. Highest death rate in the country. the fact that we've lost a third of our businesses, that our unemployment rate is creeping up when the national rate isn't. So, you know, what the governor's doing, he isn't doing right. I agree with you. We need to get the economy reopened. We need to give people a sense of hope again. You know, the decisions that are being made behind closed doors, I suppose the governor's COVID approach should be open and transparent. It isn't. So we need to get back that sense of transparent government. And listen, I'm one of those parents that has a 17-year-old high school senior that bought for a handful of days at the beginning of the start of the school year, hasn't seen the inside of his classroom since March of 2020.
Yeah.
You know, they need to get back to school. We're having to supplement that with outside educational options just so he stays up to date for college for next year. And I know not everybody has that same opportunity. So, you know, there are some definitive, decisive things that should be happening now in order to get the economy back on track, and they're not being done.
Yeah, they need to be done, and I also think it's a matter of, as Republicans, you got to talk to people's heads, but you also have to address their hearts. And I think we leave those emotional appeals out of our campaigns far too often. So I'm hoping it's a little bit different this time around, you know, in New Jersey. Do you think Phil Murphy is beatable? It may seem like a stupidly obvious question because you were trying to run against him, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of Republicans, given that million Democrat registration voter advantage, that are pessimistic. You know, do you think their pessimism's completely ungrounded, unfounded?
I think anybody is beatable. I'm a college football kid, right? So you can't ever walk out there and take a game for granted. You got to work, you know, hard every down, every play, every minute of a football game. You know, I used to tell the players when I coached them, and I remember my college coach telling me the same thing, you know, play every minute of every game. You know, we've got to do the same thing as candidates. I think any elected official, any candidate is beatable. You know, it's a combination of circumstances and message. And, you know, I think circumstances are right for Phil Murphy to be beaten. I think he can be beaten with the right, strong, conservative message. So, you know, there is an opportunity. And, you know, I wouldn't have been in the race if I didn't think that was the case. And I'm quite sure that a bunch of us are of the same opinion that Phil Murphy absolutely is beatable in November.
So everyone says when they take a step back from a race that they're going to stay engaged, they're going to stay involved. What does that mean for you? Obviously, you're still Warren County Republican chairman. It doesn't sound like there's any move on your part to take a step back from that role. What else do you have in mind? You still going to go around the state? You still going to try to help Republicans in different areas that maybe needed assist? What's your plan?
Well, look, I think it's a value-added analysis, Matt. Whatever I can do that brings value to, you know, I had said all the time when I was out campaigning that family's worth fighting for. Obviously, my family, you know, families of 9 million New Jerseyans. But I'll always talked about the Republican family, too. And, you know, as a family, I really came to love and over the last, well, as long as I've been involved in local politics, my county party, you know, the state party over the course of the last three-plus years. So there's some wonderful people in the Republican Party in New Jersey. And, you know, if there's a way that I can add value or bring value to that equation and help the party grow, then that's what I'm going to do. You know, right now I'm going to get back to being focused in my home county and recognize that it's going to be there's a primary season. We've got to help our local legislators. We've got to help our local officials and make sure that we field the full slate so that we put the best possible foot forward going into the November general election.
What are the big races in Warren County this year? Who's up for commissioner? Who's up for county races? Are there any giant towns that have control fights? I mean, you're in a pretty red part of the world.
Yeah, I think we are. So I feel really good about where we've gotten Warren County over the 60 years I've been chairman there. We have no Democratic controlled towns left. Phillipsburg was the last one, and over the last two election cycles there, even though we have a 2-to-1 registration disadvantage, we were able to take all six seats, the five council seats and the mayor. So we've done a really good job. And it's not just electing Republicans. Once you get there, you've got to provide strong leadership and proud of the folks that are leading Warren County right now. We have a great commissioners now. The last commissioner that was sworn in, Lori Chesla, was a colleague of mine in LaPacon Township. She is a fantastic addition to our county board of commissioners. But we're going to have races again in Phillipsburg. They run every 2 years, so there are three council seats up in Phillipsburg. So we'll turn our attention back to Phillipsburg and doing what we can to make sure that we retain control there. But outside of that, we're goal at the finals. And so far, we haven't had a shortage of them. So I look forward to working, you know, side by side with all of those folks to make sure that Warren County continues to have good conservative leadership.
Yeah, you've got some good ones up there. You mentioned Lori. You mentioned James Kern, I think. Or maybe I was just thinking of James Kern, because the two of them are two of my favorite people left on Twitter. There aren't many conservatives left on Twitter. But they're still there, and they're still putting some great stuff out. So you've got a good crew.
Yeah, both good people. Jim Kern, Jason Cernaski, our third freeholder. Our third commissioner, rather, and now Lori Chesnell. Our county clerk's been fantastic. Our sheriff's doing a good job. Our surrogate just got reelected. So, you know, we're blessed to have good leaders who I think are doing it for the right reasons. And I'm grateful for an opportunity to be a small part of what they do in our home county.
Well, Doug, I have to say, I've gotten to know you a little bit over the last few years. You've been generous enough to work with Save Jersey to have us broadcast from the leadership summits that you did as NJGOP chairman down in Atlantic City. We had some great times, got to meet some great Republicans and candidates and leaders from around the state. I did enjoy the energy you brought to the job. And, you know, I'm genuinely disappointed. You know, we won't get to hear more of your perspective in this race. That's not a slight at any other candidate, but you know, I'm always a fan of primaries because I think that it's like having all the family at the dinner table. You have the opportunity to have an honest discussion, and sometimes it can get a little ugly, but in the end of the day, it's how you move forward together. So, you will be missed, but, I have every confidence that you'll stay in touch and, you know, don't be a stranger at Save Jersey. If you ever have anything you want to contribute or if you hear something good going on.
No, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, send over a post or drop us a line.
And let me pay you the same compliment, Matt. You know, in a state like New Jersey where I think, you know, conservatives specifically, Republicans generally are constantly under fire and being criticized for having an opinion and expressing it, you've done a wonderful job of making sure that we all still have a voice. And, you know, I know you'll never will, but I hope you never let anyone shout you into a corner. I hope you never give up the energy. I hope you never give up your fight to make sure that our message reaches as many people as possible in New Jersey since the party continues to grow. So, look, the pleasure has been mine. It's been an honor to work alongside of you at our summits. I hope that we get to have one. I don't know what what Governor Murphy is going to do with our ability to do it, but it'll be the first time in, I guess, 4 years that we haven't, if we're not. So I hope we're able to move ahead, and I look forward to doing whatever I can to move ahead with you.
We'll get back down there one way or the other. It's going to happen eventually. You can't keep us all locked up indefinitely.
I wish you and your family a healthy and happy new year. Enjoy your young family. They're great. They grow up fast, as I do. I test with my 22-year-old daughter and 17-year-old son. So enjoy every minute of it.
No, I appreciate that, Doug. It is. It's a horrible cliche, but it's so true. I already want to press the pause button. This is Doug Steinhardt, everyone. Was a candidate in this year's gubernatorial primary. Still the Warren County Republican chairman. I doubt we have heard the last of him. Be well, Doug.
Matt, you too, and God bless. Thanks.